Unfortunately, about 2 or 3 weeks ago, I picked up this virus that's been going around. And it left me rather weak and unsteady in my walk. And really, a week or two ago, I had doubts whether I'd be able to make it. But the Lord has so graciously given me strength, although I still feel very unsteady in my walk. So while I speak like that, I want also to record the Lord's goodness. We had a very good flight across. And when I came down the steps of the aircraft, I looked at the terminal buildings in the distance, and I thought of the walk again. And a lady came up to me and offered me a seat in the bus that was waiting there by the steps, the minibus. So I got a lift right to the terminal building. And then when I went into the customs, I was waiting for the luggage, you know, and the revolving thing. And I saw my suitcase coming along. And I thought, well, how am I going to handle that? And by my side were two or three young ladies. They were complete strangers to me. And when I made a grab for my suitcase, and I did it in a very unsteady way, they said, can you manage that? And they gave me a helping hand. And they said, by the way, we've got our baggage coming. It's coming right on top of yours, he said, and we'll take it on your trolley, on our trolley. And sure enough, they bundled it on their trolley and put their baggage on the top of it. And when we threw to the customs, the whole thing went right through with my baggage and everything. And then they seemed to be rather concerned. They said, is somebody coming to meet you? Oh, yes, I said, there'll be a friend outside in the street ready to greet me. And they seemed so pleased. They saw Brother Gene there. They shook hands with him, by the way. And they seemed so relieved to know that somebody was there to meet them. I mention that just to show that the Lord gives to his own VIP treatment, doesn't he? I do thank God for traveling mercies. Now, the Apostle Thomas is mentioned 3 times in the New Testament, and we might refer. No, I'll be all right, thank you. I can study with, thank you very much. The first is found in chapter 11 of John's Gospel, and verse 16. We turn to the 3 references to Thomas the Apostle. Chapter 11 and verse 16. Then said Thomas, which is called Didymus, unto his fellow disciples, let us also go, that we may die with him. Well, what a gloomy looking for death. I don't think the Word of God tells us that the Christian is to look for death. Certainly the Christian may have to go the way of all the earth, but is not exhorted to look for death, because he's to be looking for that blessed hope and the glorious appearing of the great God and Savior, Jesus Christ. No, the Lord wouldn't have us occupied with the thought of death, but with the glorious resurrection and hope of glory. I remember some years ago a dear sister said to me, I'm very sorry you're leaving the Bahamas. I said, why? Well, she said, I thought it would be nice if you were here to take my funeral. And I said to her, dear sister, the sky, not the grave, is our goal. No, for our citizenship is in heaven, from whence also we look for the Savior, our Lord Jesus Christ, who shall change these bodies of our humiliation, that they may be conformed unto the body of his glory, according to the working whereby he is able to subdue all things unto himself. Isn't that wonderful? Behold, said the apostle, I show you a mystery. What is this mystery? It's a truth that has not been hitherto revealed, but revealed to the apostle. The glorious truth of the rapture of the saints. I show you a mystery. We shall not all sleep, but we shall all be changed. In a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trump, for the trumpet shall sound, and the dead shall be raised incorruptible, and we shall be changed. For is corruptible must put on incorruption, and is mortal must put on immortality. How emphatic is the language. So when this corruptible hath put on incorruption, and this mortal hath put on immortality, then shall be brought to pass the saying that is written, death is swallowed up in victory. O death, where is thy sting? O grave, where is thy victory? Now we are not to look for death, we are to look for the living Christ. And if this glimpse of love is so divinely sweet, what will it be, O Lord, above thy gladdening smile for me? Then we go to chapter 14 and verse. We might as well start the chapter. It's such a wonderful chapter, isn't it? Let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. And I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there ye may be also. And whither I go, ye know, and the way, ye know. Thomas, notice, said unto him, Lord, we know not whither thou goest, and how can we know the way? Then comes this wonderful statement. Jesus said unto him, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. As it's been pointed out, I am the way for the going, I am the truth for the knowing, and I am the life for the showing. And he brought out this wonderful, shall I say, display of the dignity and the glory of our blessed Lord. One of the great I Ams, Jehovah, great I Am, by heaven and earth confessed, we bow and bless the sacred name, forever blessed. I Am. I am the light of the world. He that followeth me shall not walk in darkness, but shall have the light of life. I am the bread of life. He that cometh unto me shall never hunger, and he that believeth on me shall never thirst. I am the resurrection and the life. I am the door. By me, if any man enter in, he shall be saved, and shall go in and out and find pasture. Wonderful, isn't it? I am the light, that's an illumination. I am the bread, that's satisfaction. I am the resurrection, glorious resurrection. And I am the door, salvation. Away in the chapel at home, there's a door at the, not the entrance, the entrance of course is quite open, but at the back of it there's one door, and over it it says, fire exit. And I looked at that and I thought to myself, why is that notice there? Well, of course, in the unlikely event of a fire, the authorities have demanded that that notice should be put there to show people the way of escape. And I thought of that blessed one himself who said, I am the door. Yes, dear friends, our God is a consuming fire. And when I turn my eyes to Calvary, I see that blessed one hanging upon that cross of shame. And I realized for him there was no exit. He must pass through that fiery trial of indignation and judgment. Behold and see if there be any sorrow like unto my sorrow that is done unto me, wherewith the Lord hath afflicted me in the day of his fierce anger. He sent fire from above. I like to think that the fire proved the acceptability of the sacrifice. And I'm so glad that the fire not only consumed the sacrifice in acceptance, but the sacrifice consumed the fire. There is fire exit for us, praise God, to the one who said, I am the door. Are we not brands plucked from the burning? So he said, I am Thomas, the way, the truth, and the life. Then we come to the 20th chapter. Verse 24. But Thomas, one of the 12, called Didymus, was not with them when Jesus came. The other disciples therefore said unto him, We have seen the Lord. But he said unto them, Except I shall see in his hands the print of the nails, and put my finger into the print of the nails, and thrust my hand into his side, I will not believe. And after 8 days again his disciples were within, and Thomas with them. Then came Jesus, the doors being shut, and stood in the midst, and said, Peace be unto you. Then saith he to Thomas, Reach hither thy finger, and behold my hands, and reach hither thy hand, and thrust it into my side, and be not faithless, but believing. And Thomas answered and said unto him, My Lord and my God. Jesus said unto him, Thomas, because thou hast seen me, thou hast believed. Blessed are they that have not seen and yet have believed. And many other signs truly did Jesus in the presence of his disciples, which are not written in this book. But these are written that ye might believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that believing ye might have life through his name. Now you notice that it is stressed that Thomas is called Didymus. And I understand the word really means a twin. And we can really see the twins in his life. Because on the one hand we have faith, and on the other hand we have unbelief. They're not identical twins, are they? You see, he was absent on that Lord's Day. And so the disciples got after him and they said, We have seen the Lord. They didn't say, Thomas, where were you last Lord's Day? We missed you, you know. Oh no. They said, We have seen the Lord. And these words sum up his tremendous loss, how much he missed. And I'm thinking of so many today, dear friends, who should be in the presence of the Lord on Lord's Day morning, according to his gracious request, and we are exhorted not to forsake the assembling of ourselves together, as the manner of some is, but exhorting or encouraging one another, and so much the more as we see the day approaching. It is very sad when we see some Christians place an emphasis on service before worship. Now I think they have got their priorities wrong, because there must first of all be worship before there can be service. In other words, God must have his portion, and we must be wholly taken up with the Lord in the beauty of his holiness. We see Peter on the Mount of Transfiguration. Oh, Lord, he said, it's good for us to be here. Let us make unto thee three tabernacles, and so on. Oh, what is Peter doing now? He's talking about making something. He's talking about making when he should be worshipping. He's putting service before worship. No wonder there was a bright cloud that overshadowed them. See, if a cloud does come from heaven, it's always a bright one. This is my beloved Son. Hear ye him. Ah, friends, Christians do not know how much they miss when their lives are not brought into conformity of God's word and be able to say, yes, for me, it is Jesus only. Jesus only, first of all, in my worship, and then Jesus only in my service, and then Jesus only in my life and testimony. Oh, said Thomas. But he said unto them, except I shall see in his hand the print of the nails, and put my finger into the print of the nails, and thrust my hand into his side, I will not believe. So Thomas really was saying, for me, seeing is believing. They were advertising a new car in England the other day, telling of all its virtues, you know, and so on, capabilities. And I noticed it said underneath, seeing is believing. Went by a radio shop, and they were advertising these radios and videos, what do they call them? And there again the notice was, seeing is believing. Now that is the motto of the world. It was the motto of Thomas on this occasion. But God reverses the order. It's not believing, seeing is believing, but believing is seeing. That's it. Of course it's the way of the world. There's the Lord Jesus hanging upon that cross of shame. What did they say? If Christ be the King of Israel, let him descend from the cross and what? And we will see and believe. That's the world order. And that's why Thomas made the great mistake, because that was his order on this occasion. Oh no. The word of God stresses just the opposite. I had fainted, said the psalmist, unless I had what? Believed to see the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. And what did the Lord Jesus Christ say to Martha? Said I not unto thee that if thou wouldest believe, thou shouldest see the glory of God. You see, dear friends, we walk by faith and not by sight. And faith is always a growing principle. We read of no faith. We read of little faith. We read of great faith. We read of one who was full of faith. We read of one who was rich in faith. Lord, increase our faith today. Teach us how we ought to pray. Take all hindrances away. Lord, increase our faith. Because believing is seeing. And the more we lay hold of the Word of God, and the more we lay hold of the Christ of God, so the more by faith we shall see the glories and the excellences and the beauties of the one we have learned to love. Did you notice, verse 26, and after 8 days again his disciples were with him, and Thomas with them. Then came Jesus, the doors being shut, and stood in the midst, and said, peace be unto you. You notice that after 8 days, that must have been the next Lord's Day, because, of course, it did include the two Lord's Days. And here we have the Lord's word, peace be unto you, for the third time. And a threefold cord is not easily broken. He said unto Thomas, reach hither thy finger, and behold my hands. And reach hither thy hand, and thrust it into my side, and be not faithless, but believing. Did he do that? No, but he comes out with this wonderful declaration, a clear declaration of the deity of the Christ. And Thomas answered and said unto him, my Lord and my God. What a picture we have here of unbelieving Israel. And the Lord will appear unto them again. He will say, behold my hands. But what are those wounds in thine hands? Those with which I was wounded in the house of my friends. And then it will be that Isaiah 53 will be literally fulfilled. Gazing upon that blessed Messiah in all his glory and beauty, they will say, my Lord and my God. Looking at those pierced hands and feet and sides, he was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon him, and with his stripes we are healed. Jesus said unto him, Thomas, because thou hast seen me, thou hast believed. Blessed are they that have not seen and have believed. I like that, because we are included in this blessing. Oh, give me a sight, O Saviour, of thy wondrous love to me, of the love that brought thee down to earth to die on Calvary. Oh, make me understand it, help me to take it in, what it meant to thee, the Holy One, to bear away my sin. Was it the nails, O Saviour, that bound thee to the tree? Nay, it was thy love, thine everlasting love, for me. We have not looked upon that lovely face. The veil of this world, the veil of time, the veil of sense, hangs between our face and his blessed face. The blessed are they that have not seen and yet have believed. Because he comes down to faith of it again, doesn't he? Of course. Because we do see him. But we see Jesus, who was made a little lower than the angels for the suffering of death, crowned with glory and honor. And we shall see him. Behold, what manner of love the Father hath bestowed upon us, that we should be called the children of God. Therefore the world knoweth us not, because it knew him not. Beloved, now are we the children of God. Though it doth not yet appear what we shall be, we know that when he shall appear, we shall be like him. For we shall see him as he is. Isn't that wonderful? Not as he was. Oh, his face was so marred more than any man, his form than the sons of men. Is that the altogether lovely one? His sufferings were so great that he seemed to be unrecognizable even by the prophet. But he was never more lovely in the sight of God. Dear friends, we're not going to see him as he was. We're going to see him as he is. In his altogether loveliness, in the beauty of his eternal splendor of glory, we're going to see him resplendent in his majesty. What a sight it would be for us, dear friends. And one look upon his lovely face will be enough to ravish our hearts and bow them before him. And we'll be able to say of a truth, my Lord and my God. Blessed are they that have not seen and yet have believed. O God, our Father, we do pray that we might be characterized by faith and not by unbelief. We thank thee for the bright prospect that lies before us, that we're going to gaze upon that altogether lovely face. Then we shall be able to praise him as we ought, and bow before him and worship him as we ought, without these poor stammering lips, without these poor weak hearts of ours, but in a divine capacity, a capacity that will be given to us, because we shall be glorified. We shall be able to praise him as never before. We'll be able to join with 10,000 times 10,000 and thousands of thousands. Worthy is the Lamb that was slain, to receive power and wisdom and riches and might and glory and honor and blessing. Worthy, O Lamb of God, art thou, that every knee to thee should bow. The Lord add his blessing upon these true thoughts concerning Thomas the Apostle.